out there. This is for some, probably some obvious reasons that I'm going to do this recording ahead of time and then we'll just play it. But, wouldn't be any different if I was doing it live. It's actually live. It's just recorded, right? And for the website folks, you know, this is nothing new for you. You might see a difference in the room as I'm boxing up things more and more. And, but that, you know, let's just jump right into this thing. This is the, we're just a little different this morning. We've been looking at the opportunities, and I'll continue with those tonight. We'll have more opportunities to show people, or as some of them say, opportunities to share what we've learned in our lives. If we go someplace else or visit some people or whatever, we'll continue that tonight. But this morning, we're going to do something I would call, I guess, blogginess. You know, there's all these blogs everywhere. And I guess a blog basically is just one person's thoughts as the day goes on. He writes down what he thinks and comments, and people then write back to him. Everybody spends all their time blogging back and forth what their thoughts are and everything, or whatever they have to offer. And I've heard some things and seen some things or read some things in the last couple of days that I would like to talk about. And they're not really my opinions, and I trust that I'll put enough scriptures behind this thing to make my point clear, but they're things that I still think of when these things come along. And maybe in some cases, this teaching thing over the internet is just an opportunity for me to give out what I've learned in, and maybe I'd be very frustrated if I didn't have it available. I don't know, but we're going to look at some things this morning, and like I say, this is a blogginess, kind of a general bloggy style of a sermon this morning. And I think what it is a result of some things in my life as a person. And I don't want anybody, again, to get the wrong idea about me thinking I'm so hot and special and got the, you know, I have the truth, but I don't know all the truth, put it that way. But when these things pop along, and they pop along in your life, and you hear them, and you see them, what do you think? What are the thoughts that you have? You want to tell somebody, no, wait a minute, that's not right. That's not the way it goes with God or whatever. You guys are, you know, trying to do your unknown God, and how are you going to say this to people? Well, here are just some examples for what this is. And really what we're talking about here is we're talking about wisdom. And I see where, you know, in the scriptures I've talked about this before, there's an order of this thing. It's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You're not going to have any understanding until you get some knowledge. And you certainly can't have any wisdom without some understanding. And you're going to go from knowledge to wisdom? You don't understand some things. And as I'm now older, I look back at my earlier years, and I am truly embarrassed. You know, I wish somebody would have come along and straightened me out in lots of ways. I'm not sure I would have listened. Because I've come to realize that now that I believe, when I hear these things, I think like the mind of Christ in some ways toward these things, because we've been around long enough to learn what we've learned. A lot of knowledge of this Bible. A lot of knowledge. We learned a lot of things. And we really have a lot of understanding. We do. We understand the days we're living in. We understand the religion. We understand the truth of religion in James. We understand when it'll be. We understand what Christ has done for us. We understand grace. And I mean, there's all sorts of things we understand. And the more we learn, knowledge-wise, we're going to get more of an understanding. Well, the result of that knowledge and understanding should be some wisdom. But like I said, when I was young, would I have listened to anybody? No. Well, here we're coming to the point in this ministry or in this website or just with me where you hear these particular things in the Christian world and the world and your wisdom capabilities, you've got wisdom in that department. But you'll also recognize that nobody cares. I didn't care when I would talk with older people back when I was a younger person. I didn't realize that those people ought to have a great understanding of the world's ways anyway, and they had some wisdom. But you know, whatever, I'm going to do it my way. Very stubborn along those ways, prideful and all that sort of a thing. And so here we have it. We see these things going on, And we might as well just keep our mouth shut. We understand their wisdom. We appreciate the wisdom we have. We know better than what they're saying. We watch the news or their commentaries. And really, you notice that all news is nothing but just commentary over about a 15-second news item. And then there's like 5 minutes of commentary. Like, what do they think? We don't care what they think. And I know you people don't care what I think. And that's not the point. My point is, what does the Bible say? What does God say about these things? What do we get out of our Bible? Where's this wisdom when we hear these things? We have a great understanding. Is our wisdom showing? And like I say, it doesn't matter if it does. Now, before we get into these specific things, let's just look at this knowledge, understanding, and wisdom thing just for a couple minutes here this morning. Realizing that one of the things that they have yanked away from kids in our schools is knowledge. Well, knowledge is boring. Knowledge is just a bunch of facts. Right. And until they learn these facts and this knowledge, they'll have no understanding. Which is why these kids who think that they're so far better than even I thought when I was a kid, they have zero wisdom. Well, unfortunately, we're living in a day and age now where parents have very little wisdom because these are the parents that didn't get any knowledge in school. They hated school. And in lots of cases, school was worth hating. We had all these problems, you know, and everything, but they still don't like the fact of learning knowledge. It's facts. It's boring. It's dull. No joy in learning knowledge, you know. And I won't bore you with all the things I've learned in the schools, realizing that the fight the staff has and the administration has over the concept of teaching the kids knowledge. They want them to get an understanding, and they want them to have, well, they don't really care if they have any wisdom either. They just want to have an understanding in a worldly way of what it is that they're being taught so they can go out and they can follow, like little clone morons, somebody else's supposed wisdom based on, you know, the God of this world, et cetera, et cetera. Because if they had any true knowledge, they would get an understanding of what's going on, and they'd have enough wisdom to stay away from what's going on in this world. But there is some interesting things about knowledge and wisdom stuff. And let me just read a couple of verses to you here. We're looking at Job. Everybody likes to compare themselves to Job about their rough trials and everything. But here it says, this is a good verse in Job 34:35. Job has spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. See, and that's what we're having here. I do believe that the one reason that the principal in my school and I taught that music class, he really liked what it was I was presenting, because he saw there that this is going to lead towards kids having an understanding and then a wisdom towards music. Boy, and if there's ever a subject where there's no wisdom, it's the dangers of what music can do to people. They don't have any wisdom about this music thing. Why not? Because they have no understanding of what's going on. Why don't they have any understanding? They know nothing about music. Knowledge, understanding, comes up wisdom. And Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord. Now remember now, Paul teaches a fear, but it's a respect. It's an awe. He's God. Not the fear that God's going to hammer you down. But it still says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You understand who God really is. And the Lord, all this stuff, you know, it's the beginning of knowledge. You need to learn these things about him. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So kids today, young people today, Christians, so-called Christians today, about what their unknown God, they have no idea. And when it comes to wisdom and instruction, not interested. They're fools. They despise it. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Okay, so are we skipping wisdom? Just get it from God? You know, he's just going to anoint us with his wisdom? No, it says, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You've got to read this Bible. You've got to rightly divide this Bible. Study this Bible. Put this stuff together. And all the things that Paul teaches, manner of life, and all these things that we talk about, that'll become knowledge and understanding out of his mouth. And out of that will come wisdom. So the Lord's going to give us wisdom. But it's got to come through his knowledge and understanding out of his mouth. That's his Bible. Like I say, when you parents, us parents, get wisdom, are the kids interested? No. And what have they been taught? Have they been taught knowledge? Have they been taught this Bible? For years at the church I was pastor, I said, no, those kids don't have to go to Sunday school. They can learn with the adults. This knowledge stuff. Let's just learn this knowledge stuff. And pastors get out there and preach to these people. They have no understanding. They have no wisdom because they don't know their book. Teach them the book. Teach them what this Bible says. Teach them the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Teach them the knowledge of the risen Savior. And, you know, understanding will come even as a pastor. Even wisdom will come into the picture. But nobody's going to follow somebody else's wisdom because these people have no understanding because they have no knowledge. So just because you have wisdom, or because he has wisdom, or because Dobson has wisdom, or who are some of these guys saying Licato has wisdom, they got worldly wisdom. People follow the people that have this so-called wisdom certificate on their wall, and they're authors and that kind of stuff, and they show they have wisdom. Yeah, but their wisdom is not based on an understanding at all. Why not? Because they have no knowledge. Why don't they have any knowledge? The book of knowledge has been taken away from them. They don't have any true knowledge of the risen Savior. If anything, these people have knowledge of the gospel Savior and got knowledge of what Jesus taught to the Jews. So their understanding is mixed up and their wisdom is all corrupt or whatever. The knowledge they're getting is a false knowledge. It's okay to learn that knowledge. We have Genesis to Revelation. But that knowledge is being applied to them as a false understanding, so their wisdom is just a farce. But who's going to hear you tell them that? Well, you're doing the wisdom is for you. Wisdom is not for you to give somebody else. Wisdom is for you. You've got to have the wisdom for yourself to live amongst what we're living amongst. And you're not going to be able to share that wisdom with anybody else because they don't care. They don't have the knowledge that you have. They don't have the understanding that you have. And any kind of a wisdom that we put forth without this knowledge and understanding, having knowledge and understanding fixes it. And you notice how your wisdom has changed over time? It's because your understanding has changed over time. Well, it's because you're finally getting some knowledge. Now, that's a good verse, Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, and that equals wisdom. He says here, when wisdom, Proverbs 2:10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, and then it goes on. I'm just going to stick to this one part here. We've got knowledge. Knowledge isn't always exciting. Understanding. Then wisdom. And it says here, when wisdom entereth into the heart, into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant. Do we see that when we get older, we start getting wisdom, then knowledge becomes pleasant? It's actually fun to learn. We enjoy learning. A scorner seeketh wisdom in Proverbs 14 and findeth it not. But knowledge is easy unto them that understandeth. See, you get this understanding and wisdom from this knowledge, and it's kind of a circle here that knowledge starts to become more and more fun to learn, and as it increases, your understanding and your wisdom becomes greater, and your knowledge is even that much more fun to learn. Okay. Paul, wisdom and knowledge. Well, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The depth of the riches. Doesn't that just say it all? Of the wisdom and knowledge. We have people thinking they have wisdom without the knowledge of God. With that knowledge comes an understanding, comes this great wisdom. And the wisdom they have is not the kind of wisdom that God wants them to have. But then if you have it in the right order as such, then it's the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Again, that's before the King James Bible. Remember, 1 Corinthians 12:8 here. And so today, this Bible, it's the word of wisdom. It's the word of knowledge. And it's given to us by the Spirit of God as we read and study. We learn that wisdom. We get that knowledge. In those days, they had no Bible. God gave it to them, such as they can handle. Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, the spirit of wisdom, again, he's going to give it to us. How does he give it to us today? Reading your King James Bible. So this will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation even. It's like he will reveal things to you. Only how? As God wanted them revealed, as only God wanted them to be revealed at that time. Well, today it's in this Bible. You want to have God reveal something to you? You got to read your Bible. It's that simple. And then the bottom line here is it says, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It starts with the knowledge of him. Then he will give us that wisdom. He will even give us that revelation. What do they call that when they attack Ruckman? Advanced revelation. No, it's in the Bible. You just may not see it for a couple of years. And we've all experienced reading a verse. I read that verse, and now I understand it totally. Well, it's been revealed. It's always been in there. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So he wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And we studied that. I probably should do it again. The study of learning God's will is that we are to follow Paul. That's what God's will is. Does he want you to be a plumber? Does he want me to teach in these certain schools? Does he want me to teach at all? Does he want me to have, you know, I mean, all these people, God wants me to be go to missionary in this particular city. How come a year later he changed his mind? It didn't work. What happened here? The knowledge of God's will in your life is that he shows us how we need to follow Paul. That is bottom line of God's will. But anyway, he wants us to be filled with the knowledge of his will in what? Wisdom and understanding, spiritual understanding. So first we've got to have this knowledge. It comes at wisdom and understanding. In whom, which is Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we got the riches. We got the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And then you say to yourself, well, why? Who cares? Nobody cares. I have this wisdom. Nobody's ever cared hardly in the last bunch of years what older people have, what they've learned in life. And that's one of my frustrations even as a pastor. Hey, I'm showing you folks the truth here. What's going on? Are these young people? I'm showing you something here. How can you go off and why would you go off and dress like that, talk like that, do that kind of thing? Why are you ladies out there doing the stuff you're doing? And man, blah, 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 blah. Even the stuff we're going to talk about today, these blogginess thoughts of mine. What's going to change because of this? Nothing. But Paul tells us to preach the word in season, out of season, and here are some thoughts with what's floating around, and maybe you can add to these thoughts yourself or whatever. But I like to think that as we hear these things, you've learned enough about the knowledge of the Bible, knowledge of the dispensations, and knowledge of the Old Testament, and the Gospels, and the Great Commission, and Paul's dispensation of grace, and the tribulation, all these things, are there, you know, and the days we're living in today. And when somebody says these things, and your mind clicks, and you realize, whoa, I've got some wisdom here in this stuff. And then you try to tell somebody about it, and they go, well, yeah. See, they're lacking the knowledge and the understanding. How do you give somebody an understanding of something? There's some things they have to learn, knowledge. Okay, so enough of that. That's my long, well, I forgot to sign this thing, so I guess I have no idea how long we're going to be doing this morning, which is typical. Here's my first thing I heard. This is my blogginess part one. May do it again sometime, who knows. How do you respond? Here's my statement, here's my question. How do you respond? What do you think when you hear somebody say or you read something somewhere, well, God was with us during this horrible thing? What I was reading about was in our flood in Rapid City here, I forgot how many years ago, 25 years ago or 30 years ago, I don't know, probably 50, who knows, where a couple hundred people were killed. It was a terrible thing that happened in Rapid City. And these people were talking about how they were hanging on a tree, you know, and they kind of think, well, God was with us. And I think right away when I hear thoughts like that, how do you think somebody feels when somebody hears you say, oh, God was with us, he kept us until the rescuers came and got us? What about the family that hears Aunt Mabel was clinging to a tree and she didn't stay there and she floated away and drowned? Well, the rescuers came to get them and they drowned. So God wasn't with them? You know, when you say these things, when people say these things, well, God was with us, you know, God blessed us with such and such, you know. I prayed and God took care of me, da 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 da. You don't think these people are praying, clinging to the trees? You don't think when a person hears this message from a doctor that he's not, they don't start praying? Well, see, you've got the real God, and they don't. Really? You think that's how this works? God was with me during the war. And two guys standing next to you, one on both sides of you, got shot and killed. So why did God spare you? Did God spare you? This is where the final authority of the King James Bible comes in, because I put your life against this King James Bible, and you're just as worldly and rotten as can be. So why would God spare you? You're deep in religion. You've got this wild religion, whatever it is. And God was with you, but not somebody else. Somebody is with child, and their baby dies during birth. Or maybe just with that premature birth stuff or whatever. They die when they're 4 months pregnant and all that. Is God not with them? See, this is the thing that I hear, and it just bothers me more and more. I mean, people can say what they want, and we're supposed to give God the glory in all things. That's fine. But when you say something like, well, see, God was with me, but he wasn't with your grandma when she drowned. That's what people have to realize, that when they say what they say, there's other people that go, oh, so then I don't know God. Is that what you're telling me? And amongst religion, this is what this whole hassle is about. This is all this stuff here that I'm going to talk about, all is part of religion. These people involved with religion, yeah, God was with me. Oh, but God wasn't with you. God blessed me, but I noticed God isn't blessing you. I prayed, see, and God answered my prayer, but I noticed God isn't answering your prayers. That's what people got to realize, but that's what they sound like. Now, they've got to realize something here, which they won't, because they don't have the knowledge. They certainly have no understanding, and they think their wisdom is what it is, not at all. But they got to remember that these wonders that will be taking place today, Rick has always reminded me to throw in the word lying wonders, because in the Thessalonians they're lying wonders. We realize that these miracles and signs and wonders and things that talk about in the Great Commission, if they're done today, then they're lying wonders. Still a wonder, but they're a lie. He's the God of this world, which means this is his place. This is his physical place. He can make these things happen to get people to realize that your religion is, to make them think that their religion is working. How many people in the Hindu bimbos and the Catholics and the Lutherans, they've all got testimonies of some sort where their God was there for them. Well, what are we talking about here? Is this King James Bible just nothing? Well, a lot of people think it's because of that. Well, you know what these people have? They have a form of godliness. But they're denying the power there. What power is that? That's the power of what Christ has done to us. And what Christ will do to you and to these people. But he hasn't done it to these people. They have a religion. So the God of this world, angel of light, you know, makes people think that this stuff is fantastic. So this one person comes by, this one person writes a book. Because they died, but they came back from heaven. And they saw the light. There's a kid out there that wrote a book, something like that. And people believe that stuff. It's amazing, isn't it? So my question, I just think of it. What do you think of when somebody says, you know, God blessed me. God blessed me and gave me this house. Well, why doesn't God bless me and give me the house? I got this job. Why doesn't this? I know a lot of people out there are, you know, they're frustrated. It's difficult not to have a job. Well, how come God doesn't give them a job? Did God give me this job? It's a nice job. It's in a state-of-the-art music school. I mean, that's fine. Music program, K-12. Can I do K-12? I've done all this stuff in K-12, but I've never done K-12 in one shot. Am I going to be able to do it? Am I going to get in trouble there, too? Am I going to move up there and something going to happen? Did God give me that job? Why didn't he give me one in a comfortable place and closer to the cities? And you go through this long list. You know, I give God the glory for it and thank him for it. But we have an understanding of what's going on today. We have to work. And we're going to have to work in places that are not good. I'm going to watch these kids be taught the government agenda. I'm hoping maybe I can slip some things in there. Maybe we can talk, because these guys are Christians. A lot of them say they're Christians. And maybe we can come out of this thing with something. Who knows? But did God give this to me like this? Well, maybe he should sell the house then. Well, it's not selling. I mean, you go through this mind-boggling thing. You know what you lack when you think of things like that? You're lacking an understanding of the days we're living in. And then you have no wisdom. And if something really turns out to be just a fantastic thing, oh man, well the devil's full of lying wonders, and he's angel of light, and this is his kingdom, this is his world. Right? Now the blessings we're going to receive, as we hear when people say, oh God has just blessed me so much. Oh listen, Mabel, you have no idea how God has blessed me. Well, how can you say that? You don't have a job, you're sick, you got, you know, neck surgery coming up, you've got a heart attack, whatever, all these things that have happened to all of us. Oh, but man, God has blessed me spiritually. He's taken all my sins and he's paid for them. Then you go down this long list, you know. And they say, well, God has blessed me. Look at my house. Look at my car. Look at my job. Look at my health. Look at me. God has so blessed us. You know. You say this when you go to a surgery thing. Your kid goes into surgery. And you say, God has blessed us. This kid was fixed. Well, when David was at Mayo Clinic years ago, we saw all these little children with cancer and the bald heads and everything. You go ahead and say to those parents that, you know, they're praying, they're crying to God. And you come along and say, well, God fixed my son. Well, why doesn't he fix their son? And it, to me, it helps understand why people hate God so much. They hate the whole thing about God. Yeah, but my dad died. My parents got a divorce. We lost our job. I got sick. I had to go to the hospital for 10 years. I'm crippled. You got so many reasons to be mad at God. And God just takes it. He just takes it. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He's just given us Romans chapter 2. It's the goodness of God. And people don't understand God's goodness. God's goodness is not healing you. It's not showing you this miraculous sign and this wonder that can take place in your life physically. I mean, our salvation is a wonder. The whole thing about imputation and the spiritual circumcision, circumcision made without hands, is that not a miracle? But they don't want those kind of miracles. They want the physical kind. So when something good happens to them, oh, God was with them. Yeah, you're right. But I'd be willing to bet it's the God of this world that was with you. It's the God of this world that's blessing you and that stuff. Pretty tough stuff to hear, really. And I want to be right with this thing. I don't want to say, you know, God isn't there in our lives. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. There we go. That's the standard the right way. He's able to, he was able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's not things we're asking for. He gives us more than we're thinking. Now unto him that is able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So, Christ is in our lives. But we just have to realize that there's a truth to this whole thing, and Christ doesn't do signs, miracles, and wonders today. So, just put that through your thoughts a little bit here. When somebody says, well, God blessed us with, and you be careful what you say to somebody. You know, God gave me this job in North Dakota. How come he's not giving this other brother a job? Maybe this other brother's not a Christian. See, that's how we think. So I go back through my years. Did God have me go to Minnesota and then Las Vegas, of all cities, and then clear up to Idaho because the Las Vegas private school thing was a dud, according to the pastor. And then I go up to New York, and then 6 years later, found that church was all corrupted. And then I come back to South Dakota, and then go up to preach for 13 years. And two, she find out that people don't want to hear about the goodness of God, and they just pick at me. And I think that's that whole long list. Now I'm back here in South Dakota, get dumped out of there for doing a good job, and now going up to, what's in store in North Dakota? How long am I going to last there? Is God doing this to punish me? Is he doing this to test me? Is he, you know? No, this is a corrupt world. This is a lost world. This is a world after Adam and Eve. And people have forgotten that we're living in a perverted world. And men have to work in the rotten businesses, and women aren't supposed to. They're supposed to be home with their kids, taking care of the home that is be like heaven on earth as such. And this is the way life is. We're not in heaven yet. And Paul teaches us how to live amongst this mess, the tribulation. They'll have to stay away from it. Not today. Anyway, been over that. So there's my first bloggy thought. There's number one. Okay, I hope that makes sense. We just have to, when people talk like that, it's like, ugh. When people that I know that aren't saved, whether this person is saved or not, I don't know either. People hear these people talk like that. They just hate God that much more. They don't fall for this blessing stuff. Here's another one. Same-sex marriages. Well, there's a good one. It's a hot subject to talk about. Well, you know, I heard in the news, this won't take very long, this one. And I think it's Judges 4. If you want to follow something in the scripture, turn to Judges 4 here. First, let's go to Romans chapter 1. We know that the world is, there's some sick things going on physically like this. Men marrying men, you know, and that kind of stuff. Well, Romans 1 takes care of that about as good as any, better than anybody else, you know. God gave them up into vile affections in verse 26. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men. I mean, this is what we're talking about. This is how wicked things are today. But I was thinking last night, you know, the same-sex marriage thing, people are so upset about it. Do you remember when people used to say, I'm not going to worry about the whole gay thing, the whole homosexual thing, the whole grids thing anyway. It's not in my house. Until it comes to my front door, I'm not going to worry about it because I kind of stay away from the issue, you know. Well, now we know that not only has it gone in your front door, it's in all your magazines, it's in all your news, it's in all your comedies, it's in all your TV programs, it's in your magazine pictures of food that have subliminal pictures in them. I was looking at one the other day, so I noticed there's something in this picture. It was in a Family Circle magazine. Somebody standing in front of the woods or something. And the shadow in the trees, you know, there'd be like a little darker spot between trees, spelled S, in cursive, S-E-X, in the trees. So there was a day when people were saying, it's not going to come into my house. I'll keep out of my house. Well, it's in the house. It's in our families. It's in our kids. Our kids are being taught stuff. And the thing that marvels me more than any of that is an old person, is an old guy wearing pigtails, earrings, okay with the queer stuff, and he's a Christian. Now, how did this happen? Nobody taught him, and he hasn't been in school for 70 years. How did this happen? And this, it's gotten so bad that these people today are accepting, older people are accepting, young people are being taught it, and that, I can understand that. But it's the old people that are accepting the same-sex marriages. Man marries a man, and a woman marries a woman. Try to build a house with, all those kind of parts like that, the bolt without the nut at the end. Come on, you can't do that. It's not even natural. So it goes against nature. Not a problem. We understand all that kind of stuff, as wicked as it is. But look at this. Think of it this way. Look at our marriages today. Look at the role the man has. This is in Christian families too. Look at the role the man has. Look at the role the women have. Go to the workplace. Go out on the highway. Go just about anywhere. Who's got the job? It's the woman that's got the job. Now, I'm not going to sit here and bash women. My point is not to bash women, okay? And again, I know some of you have to work because your husbands are sick or you don't have a husband anymore and life is what it is. Life is a curse. I realize that. But my point is this. Roles of the woman and the man within the home are equal today, Christian or not. So if the roles are equal, what's the difference between a same-sex marriage? Both the women and the men do the same thing now in the marriage. Both women and the men, they dress the same. The women, they talk just like the men. Femininity, that's unheard of as a woman who's feminine. and it's unheard of as a man who is the man. I mean, we know in Luke it talks about the strong man being taken down. So we understand that. So the man had to be taken down within the marriage. Then the woman had to be brought up to do the work that the man does. And the kids grow up and then they don't see the difference between men and women except in parts. And that becomes so neutralized to them that it doesn't matter. And then everybody's out here today marrying men, marrying men, and women marrying women. And they go out and buy a kid somewhere. Or they buy these little toy devices that they can, one can participate as the man. You know, and it's just like, okay, if you have to buy toys to participate, doesn't that tell you something? That this still isn't natural? Well, we know lasciviousness. We know the whole corrupt perverseness. That's not my point. My point is this. We have marriages to where the man is not what the man's supposed to be. He's been brought down, and the woman's been brought up into the man's world. So we basically have a same-sex design marriage. Does that make sense? Now, these people, they're ignoring the curse in the garden. You know, and I'll just go to it because we got time. I'm not sure how long this sermon is going to go here this morning. I should have been keeping track because I got two other things to talk about here. We go to Genesis 3, for example, and the woman, I'll greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And they ignore all that. They ignore all that. And so they ignore that. They ignore what Paul teaches about women, the man, and the wife. They ignore Titus, what Titus says in chapter 2 about the woman and the man. And they ignore in Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 5 and chapter 1 what is said to the woman versus to the man. They ignore all this stuff. So we really already have same-sex marriages within our homes. And here's the guy that I compare the men to. See, women think I bash the women. Women got to realize that you've been brought up, you've been deceived by, what's that word? It's not feminine, it's that feminist movement to get you from being not the woman, you know, the weaker sex kind of a thing. Bishop's talked about in the tribulation. And then you got those Christians saying, well, see, now we're saved, now we're all the same. No, neither male nor female, da 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 da. So we're all the same? No, we're not all the same. Not at all. And I picture the whole story of this thing. It's a guy named Sisera in Judges chapter 4. You know the guy? This guy that was escaping from war. He runs over to Jael's house, which is a good word for Jael, by the way. But anyway, Jael's house. And he's trying to escape this toughness of life, you know. And he goes into this woman. And this woman is going to rescue this guy. See, we got men today in our homes and our families that are, we are so down about our world as a man that the woman runs the house. Woman runs your mental status. And I understand what I'm talking about here. And this man, Sisera, whatever, goes into this tent where this jail lady is at. And she puts him under, she takes care of him. Here, have a glass of milk. I'll help you. Calm down. Take a hide under this tent right here. And while he's doing that, boom, she nails his head to the floor. And then she's the one in charge. When these people come and die, have you seen jail anywhere? Have you ever seen Sisera anywhere? No. The lady took care of the situation. And see, this is what we got going on in our homes. It isn't just that the ladies have come up in this world of this liberalism stuff. I mean, it has. But how did it happen? It's the men that let it happen. So now when the men, you know, have to be man somehow here, then the lady, poof, nails his head to the floor. It's over with. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about the same-sex marriage thing. How did we get so far along? We got this far along because the men quit being men, and the women were brought up to be men, and now in our homes we have same-sex marriages. Really? And our kids are going to grow up, and it's no, you know, mom, dad, whatever. And yet we realize through statistics that the homes that have the women, as the mother as the strong factor, it's the men, it's those boys that grew up to be queer, ladies, girls grew up to be lesbians, and they go into crime and the whole thing. Where's the man? But today, if a man stands up and wants to be a man in the home, boom, he gets his head nailed to the floor. That's what's happening. This is how far gone we are. So Christians, you want to get mad about the same-sex marriage concept being so corrupt and everything, just look at your own. It's already there. That's where we are today. Paul takes care of it. This is a hard thing to talk about for me right here, because Paul says, listen, if you're married, you are not going to be able to serve God like I am, meaning Paul. So when us guys get the truth about this Paul stuff and the risen Savior and this King James Bible, we want to go out there and just start doing the thing. Start telling people this and living our lives like this and stopping this, and you get your head nailed to the floor. Or if the woman gets excited about the Paul stuff and realizes this and realizes that, and the man doesn't, and she wants to be the Christian, he says, no way. Treat her with disrespect and won't allow her to be the Christian she'd like to be, and you know, that whole thing. They've got these fathers that don't allow their children to grow up and be the Christians that they want to be. And Paul takes care of it. It's just, see, you can't be. Men, you can't be the men you want to be these days because you're married. Paul says you got to take care of the needs of your wife. You just do. Sometimes you just aren't going to be able to study because you got to take care of your family. Ladies, you're not going to just all of a sudden be this holy Bible person reading your Bible all the time, you know, and doing this. You got to take care of your husband. You can take care of your family. If you're single, you can live Paul's life to the max because you got nobody to take care of other than you, and it's you and Paul. But there are those of us that got married, life went on, we wise up to this stuff, and we suddenly want to be the right kind of man. We suddenly want to be the right kind of woman. And all it does is it just creates hell on earth in your family. Well, what's the world's solution? Same-sex marriage. Women get along with women a whole lot better than they do with men. Well, why is that? Men get along better with their men buddies than women. Why is that? They lack a knowledge. They have no understanding. And their wisdom stinks. Now, Paul does give an opening there. He talks in 1 Corinthians 7. Now, if there's no peace in your home, is everyone not allowing the other one to be the Christian? You can leave. That's it. That's, tell that to the pastors out east where they're so big on this divorce thing and all that. Divorce, marriage, Christian, what do they call it? Marriage, divorce, or remarriage. Pop this one in there. If you ain't not getting along spiritually, you can take a hike. If there's no peace in the home, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, read it slowly. Anyway, isn't it amazing? Like, think about it. We have same-sex marriages and so many marriages today. Women are up there doing the hot stuff, the hard stuff, the whole thing, and the men are not doing what they should be. Equalized out marriages, everybody's got the authority at 50-50 or 100-100 or 0-0 or whatever. We have the same thing as sex marriages in our home. It's just the parts are different, that's all. The roles of the woman, the roles of the man are just disappearing. And Christians are just as guilty as the world. They just don't get it. Okay, I have no idea what time I started this thing. I think it's pretty about a half hour. I don't know. If I want to take on this other one here or not, I wish I knew what time it was when I started this thing. I think I'll do it anyway, and if you can't stick around. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll do this third one here that I told you when tonight, when I said that one of my relatives is got all the churches together and things. You got the Presbyterian, the Lutherans, the Methodists, the Episcopalians, you know, and they're all getting together for their services and sharing congregations and pastors and stuff. And I said, how can you do that? You guys are so different. Here's his answer. I remember I couldn't find it Wednesday night. Here's what he says. Presbyterians, now this is ultimate in religion here. This is exactly what religion is. Presbyterians, do you know what Presbyterians believe? Lutherans, totally different. Methodists, Episcopalians, Moravians, UCC Congregational, whatever that is, and American Baptist. are in what is called a common communion. Common communion? That's ecumenicalism to the max. Presbyterians? Lutherans? Methodists? Episcopalians? Catholics? And Moravians? And the Baptists? Come on. Common communion for several reasons. Here we go. Here's how they justify this stuff. Clergy shortage. They haven't got enough pastors. Congregations too small to afford paying a full-time pastor. Church closures, which allows a pastor of one denomination to serve a congregation of a different denomination. Serious? Now listen to this. It does not affect the sacramental stance of each congregation, as the pastor has to adjust to the denomination he or she might be in. That's how ecumenical is justified. This arrangement has led to lots of program sharing as well. Marvelous. That is religion to the max. I despise that stuff. God despises that stuff. Ecumenicalism. There's that thing here. There it is. There's your blogginess thoughts for the day. I don't know how long it went, but there you go.